In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family this Saturday, first Saturday of Lent. And as always, we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. We also call out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope in the Hail Holy Queen. All the prayers that we can say to Mary, the prayer that Mary loves most is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. So start off our day by calling out to Mary that she'll be with us and pray for us as our Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. How consoling it is to know that our spiritual director is God himself. Spiritual director, we know to be the Holy Spirit. He's also known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Finger of God. He's also known as the Interior Master. Why the Interior Master? Because he's a master that teaches us. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit in prayer and song and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us as we sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we welcome you to our Perseverance family. And first of all, I'd like to just introduce you to our Facebook family so that you're aware of all the different projects that we have for you, because we're really forming a family here. So I start off every morning with you at 7:30, and we start off with our Perseverance family talk. Just that you're aware that after the talk, that you will have posted the readings for the day. First reading, you'll have the gospel. Then also you will have the commentary, which is often an article that I wrote related to the topic. So this is part of your Perseverance family prayer, is that I give you a talk on the points, and I'll also give a talk on formation, usually related to some spiritual topic, related also to the spiritual exercises, because we're in the spiritual exercises program. And then you who have maybe some friends that prefer in Spanish, then at 9 o'clock I give a talk in Spanish. I give a talk in Spanish at 9 o'clock. And then we have also every day, Monday through Friday, we have what is called the Ignatian Forum. By forum, I mean we come together, usually three of us, me, Father Larry, Father Craig, Mary Martirana, Eric, and we talk about some Ignatian topic. So this past week we've been talking about Lent. Father Larry yesterday asked that we talk about the topic of the Passion of Christ, which is a very interesting topic. And then after that, at 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday, we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is a very important prayer. Probably most of you know that Jesus said to St. Faustina Kowalska, he said that at the 3 o'clock hour is the mercy hour. It's the mercy hour. Now, in the mercy hour, Jesus actually said to St. Faustina, asked her to do one of three things. This is taken from the diary. This is taken from the diary of St. Faustina, which hopefully all of you have this wonderful textbook. Here's the one in Spanish I have. Wouldn't be a bad idea during these days of Lent for you to actually, for supplemental spiritual reading, to read the diary of St. Faustina. It is really a masterpiece. So, at 3 p.m., we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Jesus told St. Faustina at 3 o'clock to make the way of the cross. So on Fridays, we're making the way of the cross at 3 p.m., starting with the chaplet. And then Jesus also told St. Faustina to, if possible, to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament at 3 p.m. Now, if you're in the church with us at 3 p.m., there you are. You're close to the Blessed Sacrament. And he also said, if that's impossible for you to make the way of the cross or to visit the Blessed Sacrament, because that's not always possible, Jesus said this: at least lift up your heart and unite your heart to my agony and my suffering. The 3 o'clock is the mercy hour because that's the hour in which Jesus was on the cross. And he was breathing forth his spirit to the Father, saying, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. So, the mercy hour is 3 p.m. And every day, Monday through Friday, we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. But Jesus also said that whatever we ask the Father in his name, he will give. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door is open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. And especially that time when we're offering to God the Father the suffering, the bloodshed, and the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Father can actually deny his Son nothing when his Son is offering to his Father his precious blood. Also, Jesus said to St. Faustina, and Father Larry brought this up in his conversation with us, that 1 hour meditating upon the Passion of Christ, meditating upon it, is more efficacious than being scourged to the point of shedding blood every day for a year. Wow. So in this time of season of Lent, we're going to be talking about many things, and one of the things we'll talk about is the passion and suffering of Christ. How much Christ really loves us. He has so much love for us that he sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Okay, so 3 o'clock, we have the Mercy Hour. Then after we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, we do a short reading from one of the numbers of the Diary of St. Faustina. Then I usually give like a 3-minute talk on that. So we're placing a strong emphasis, my friends, on the importance of praying, but also the importance of our formation. We as Catholics, it's incumbent upon us to take seriously our permanent formation. We're all a work in progress, so to speak. Then 4 o'clock, I invite all of you to pray for us, because at 4 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm giving a confirmation class to a group of confirmation students every day at 4 o'clock. So I've decided to live stream that for you so that you can follow up in your own formation, and you can also invite your children and teenagers to watch my presentation. And that's at 4 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thanks be to God. This week we confessed probably about more than 200 confirmation students. Thanks be to God. I prepared them the week before, and me with the help of Father Dave and Father Craig, we're able to hear their confessions. So pray for the young people. Many of you have young people, and you know that the struggles that they're going through. And then, my friends, at 6 p.m., we actually have a Mass, and the Mass is 6 o'clock. It's in Spanish, so if you cannot come to Mass, at least you can follow the Mass virtually online. That's important. But if you cannot participate in an actual Mass, at least you can maybe try to go to a Mass and follow the Mass online. And during this time of the pandemic, we've encouraged you, if you can't go to Mass online, at least if you go to Mass online, to make a spiritual communion. Spiritual communion can be very powerful. It really can. It can be very powerful because God understands that many of you cannot go to Mass, but you can make a spiritual communion. The spiritual communion is such that you simply say, Lord, I cannot receive you with Holy Communion, but come at least spiritually into my soul. I receive you as if I were receiving you sacramentally. Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen my hope. Lord, strengthen my love. There you make a spiritual communion. And that can fan the flame of the love of God in your heart. So what I'm doing today, my friends, I'm just going through our Facebook family programs. After the 6 o'clock Mass, which you can follow online, and you can go to the Mass in person if you like. It's the doors are open usually about 5:30, and you can pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And then at 7:30 every night, yours truly, I pray the family rosary with you. Remember the words of Father Patrick Peyton. The family that prays together stays together. It's so true. The family that prays together stays together. So I pray the rosary. And I give a commentary on the Mystery of the Rosary. Often I'll do a reading from John Paul II or some other reading so that we can get to know the mysteries of the Rosary all the more. That's 7:30. Then, a half hour later, we as oblate priests, we pray the Oblate Holy Hour. What a wonderful day to end. What a wonderful way to end the day. In that we start off by giving you a formation talk, and we do it bilingual so that the two different cultures will be able to participate. And then after we pray the we pray the rosary. Father Craig will pray the rosary and explain it in great detail. And he'll go through each of the mysteries and try to apply the mysteries of the rosary to the talk that was given. And then after that, we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy. What a beautiful prayer. Then after that, we pray spiritual communion. And after spiritual communion, we have the Blessed Sacrament exposed during the rosary. And then we have about 5 to 10 minutes of silent adoration, which you can talk to the Eucharistic Lord. Talk to the Lord. Open up your heart and talk to the Lord in those few minutes. Then we sing the Tantum Ergo. After we sing the Tantum Ergo, then we give the solemn benediction with the Blessed Sacrament. What a beautiful way, my friends, to end your day by making a holy hour with the Oblates of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, my friends, those are our projects, and given that we are forming a family, this is our Facebook family, We invite you to participate as much as you really like to. You're part of our family. So today, as always, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. I have my Mass at 4 p.m. I will pray for you in my Mass that God will give you a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of protection, that God will give you a long life in this life, and that God would give you life eternal. Okay, for about a week, I have not done this. So today, just make a brief commentary on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What we've been doing is studying the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I'm just going to give you a brief summary of what we've been going through over the past 2 weeks. The Catechism, from about 250 all the way up to 275, even more, Catechism is going through the Creed, and the Catechism is going through one of the key mysteries of our Catholic faith, and that is the Most Blessed Trinity. The Most Blessed Trinity. So part of our conversation is giving you some ideas for Scripture, which I'll be giving you after our catechetical moment. But also it's incumbent upon us to get to know our catechism. To get to know our catechism. And that central mystery that our catechism is talking about is the Blessed Trinity. Just go through what that is. By mystery, it means we'll never understand it fully. But we have to try to understand it as best we can. As St. Ambrose says, faith seeks understanding. If we have faith in God, then we want to try to understand our faith. And what we believe as Catholics is we believe in one God, but three separate persons. The Father is God. The Son is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. One God. And three separate persons. The Father is the first person of the Blessed Trinity. The Son is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. The mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. By means of attribution, the Father is the Creator. We attribute to Him power. The Son is the Redeemer. We attribute to Him wisdom. And the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. We attribute to Him love. So we believe in the Trinity, one God and three persons. What is a way in which you can call to mind the Blessed Trinity? Very simple. Every time you make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are professing the greatest mystery of your Catholic faith. And don't forget, when you make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity is in heaven. But also, as St. Paul says, in Him we live and move and have our being. The Trinity is not far from you. But rather, once you're baptized, the Trinity came to live within you. Yes. You are a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity. As long as you don't expel the Trinity through mortal sin. For that reason, Saint Pope Leo the Great said, Christians, recognize your dignity. So every time you make the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, recognize your great dignity. That you are a son or daughter of God. You are a brother and sister to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is your best friend. You are never alone. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. So make often the sign of the cross, but recognize who you are, your dignity and your destiny. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, my friends, before going to the Gospel for today, which is very interesting, Saturday is a day in which we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. And every Saturday, I invite you to grow deeper in your love for Mary. So a practical suggestion I'd like to offer for all of you is this. By means of an anecdote, we as oblates of the Virgin Mary, we have houses in Europe, in Africa, in Canada, in Brazil, but also we have opened up houses in the Philippines. Thanks be to God. I've never had the blessing to go to the Philippines, but this is something that they told me. At least they used to do it. I hope they still do it. Is that in the big cities, could be even some of the provinces, at 12 noon, midday, everything stops in the stores, in the supermarkets, in the law offices, in the factories, and then even on radio, they stop to pray the Angelus at 12 noon. So that would be my suggestion for you. Our Marian catechetical invitation. And it would be get in the habit of praying the Angelus. This could be a very beautiful Lenten practice for all of us. Now I'm going to go two steps further. Let's raise the bar a little bit higher. I would say, if possible, to pray the Angelus at 9, 12, and 6. Why those three separate moments? At 9, to sanctify the morning through Mary. At 12, to sanctify the afternoon. And at 6, to sanctify the evening. Now, if you don't know the Angelus, you can just Google an Angelus and you'll get it. The Angelus is basically composed of three Hail Marys and three biblical verses. First part is, the angel Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived through the Holy Spirit. And you say the Hail Mary. And the second is taken from Mary's fiat. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. The Hail Mary. And the third is taken from the prologue of St. John. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then the Hail Mary. And the closing prayer is, pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, through whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection, to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Then you say three glory be's. So the Angelus is a way in which we honor Mary, but also it's a way in which we are calling to mind two of the principal mysteries, biblical mysteries of our Catholic faith. That would be the incarnation, when Jesus becomes man in the womb of Mary. And the second would be the Paschal mystery, which we celebrate in Lent, especially we celebrate the Paschal mystery Holy Week. That means the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the way, the Holy Father prays the Angelus Sunday at 12 noon. That goes back all the way to John Paul II, maybe even Paul VI. So if the Pope is not traveling, he'll pray the Angelus and give a short pep talk, a short spiritual motivational talk. When I was in Rome, I lived very close to the Vatican. I lived under Janiculum. And we as novices, we sometimes go down, walk about a mile to arrive at St. Peter's, and we pray the Angelus with John Paul II. Beautiful. So, my friends, that's our Marian pep talk today. Every Saturday, I like to encourage us to get to know and love Mary more and more. Thursday, I'm actually making a consecration program for Couples for Christ. I've had some problems with the volume the first couple talks, but I'll remedy that this coming Thursday. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome. So, my friends, let's move now into the gospel. The gospel today is very appropriate for Lent. And I'll try to make a connection now between the gospel today, which is a wonderful gospel. They all are, though. With Ash Wednesday. Now, if you receive the ashes, the priest has two options when he's imposing the ashes. What he can say would be taken from Mark chapter 1, verse 15. That's the first public preaching of Christ. And what were the words of Jesus? Be converted and believe in the gospel. Be converted and believe in the gospel. So the message there is conversion. In Greek, the word is metanoia. Then there's another option in which the priest can say, remember that you are dust, and into dust you shall return. Now, what does that mean? Well, that calls to mind our mortality. After the sin of Adam and Eve, God intervened with a triple chastisement, and the fourth was universal. Chastisement on the serpent. He would crawl and eat dust all the days of his life. Chastisement on the woman, that she would bring forth children with pain. Chastisement on the man, that he would earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Then there was universal chastisement in which God says, man, remember that you are dust, and into dust you shall return. By that, we call to mind our mortality and our total dependence upon God. We need God in every moment of our life. And hopefully, the closer you get to God, the more you recognize your dire need for God in everything. We can do nothing without God's help, except we can commit a lot of sins. That's true. But with God's help, much good can be done. So the message of Ash Wednesday is conversion and the sober memory of our mortality, that one day, when God wills, all of us will pass from this life to the next. Our death will introduce us into the judgment. We'll be judged by Jesus Christ upon all we've done in our lives. We should pray that our Lord would not be our judge, but he would be our Redeemer. I like that prayer. Lord, be not my judge, be my Redeemer, be my Savior. So that being said, my friends, the gospel for today, we can do a mini Ignatian contemplation. To relate to conversion, in these biblical scenes, not only should we meditate upon them, but we should try to identify ourselves with these biblical scenes, to identify ourselves with them. So today, my friends, we have the call and conversion of Saint Matthew. Yes. The call and conversion of Saint Matthew. A very, very appropriate gospel for these first few days of Lent. Very appropriate for these first few days of Lent. Because it's a gospel of conversion. And Matthew's story is my story, and that should be your story also. I repeat, Matthew's story should be your story, and that should be my story. We have to try to identify ourselves with this biblical figure. I think there's a lot that we can glean from it, if we're really honest with ourselves. So, let's talk a little bit about the person of Matthew. The call of Matthew. The conversion of Matthew. And the joy in the apostolate of Matthew. Let's go through those various points. The person of Matthew, the call of Matthew, the conversion of Matthew, and the joy in the apostolate of Matthew. And see if you can connect this with yourselves. Okay, who is Matthew? Matthew, like Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector for the Romans. And usually, the tax collectors were not the most honest people in the world. Quite the contrary. The tax collectors would often jack up, levy up the taxes for the people that they'd be taking the taxes from. And they would give the taxes to the Roman government, but they would hold on to a lot of the money. So there was no really set, clear fee for the taxes. So it'd be easy for a tax collector to be unscrupulous and to lie and get away with it. And if he were doing this day after day, he'd be able to rake in a lot of money. Basically, he was stealing. He'd be stealing from the people. So they're known for their dishonesty, and the part of the Jews would often hate them because they would see these people as betraying the Jewish race and really going over to Roman allegiance, so to speak. So they're despised by many. That means also that these tax collectors would often have a lot of money. Some of them have a lot of friends. They'd have big parties, eating and drinking. But Jesus saw in Matthew, above and beyond his public profession, Jesus saw in Matthew that there's a lot of good in him. And Jesus sees in you. He sees a lot of good in you. He really does. He saw in Matthew a lot of potentiality to do good, irrespective of his attachments. Matthew was capable of a lot of good, so are you. He saw the goodness in Matthew. There is goodness in you. And also there's a lot of goodness in the people around us, in our families. I think we should try to discover the goodness of the goodness and the nobility of many, many of our family members. Now I pray for you in my Mass that all of you will really discover in your hearts the goodness that you have and that you would bring that to Christ. You all have a lot of goodness. But in your prayer life, you can go deep and try to discover what is that goodness that you have and bring that to Christ. So Jesus approaches Matthew. Now, if you like art, the painter's name is Caravaggio. Has done a spiritual masterpiece of the call of St. Matthew. His name is Caravaggio. So Jesus approaches Matthew, and he says, basically, two or three words. Come, follow me, or follow me. That's it. Follow me. There's a lot in that. In the image of Caravaggio, the painted Caravaggio, you see this scene. Jesus is standing up. Matthew is sitting down at a table. He's surrounded by some friends. Jesus is pointing at Matthew. And he says, come follow me. Matthew points to himself, do you really mean me? You're calling me to follow you? And Jesus is fixing his eyes in the eyes of Matthew. Now, I've often thought about this. It's not simply the words of Jesus, but it was also the penetrating gaze of Jesus. That Jesus peered into the eyes of Matthew. And that gaze penetrated to the very heart of Matthew. Penetrated to the very heart of Matthew. And Matthew, you know what he did. Matthew got up and basically he left everything. Matthew burnt the bridges, so to speak. Matthew decided he was going to leave everything now to follow Christ. Now, to prove Matthew's proof that he really loved Christ was the following. Matthew prepared a huge banquet for Jesus at his home. And he invited, who did he invite? The publicans, could have been the prostitutes, the public sinners. Matthew opened up his door, invited a lot of people. A lot of people. Why did he do that? Well, already you see in Matthew a desire to become an apostle. Matthew already wanted, he wanted to bring others to Christ. True. He wanted to bring others to Christ. And I really believe Matthew believed this. If these people, even though they're not the best of people, some of them were public sinners. If these people have contact with Christ, just by getting to see Christ, to look at Christ, to contemplate Christ, to listen to his words. Once they do this, Matthew probably believed they'll be converted and they will also want to follow Christ. So on this issue, we really see the great joy of Matthew in bringing others to Christ. So we talked about the person of Matthew, the call of Matthew, Caravaggio, the conversion of Matthew, and that he leaves everything to follow Christ. I think that was a radical change. Because Matthew, of all the apostles, he could have been the richest. But he leaves everything to follow Christ. And then he's so joyful, the joy of Matthew, he cannot wait to bring other people to Christ. Filled with joy, bringing other people to Christ. And this should be our lives. So, my friends, I'd like to point out now, really like to point out, as a result of Matthew saying yes to Christ, as a result of Matthew saying right yes to Christ, look at all the gifts that God gave to Matthew. Many. Matthew became an apostle. Matthew became one of the 12 apostles. The second is Matthew was even in a more select group of people. One of the 12 apostles, great. But Matthew also had other gifts, among which Matthew was able to write. So because of Matthew, we have one of the four Gospels. And they are, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes. Matthew did not say yes to Jesus. Maybe we'd only have three Gospels. But thanks be to God and thanks be to Matthew's yes. We've got the wonderful first gospel in those 28 chapters. So Matthew was called to be an apostle. Matthew was also called to be an evangelist. Evangelist means he who wrote one of the gospels. Matthew was also called, my friends, to be a missionary. Missionary means he was not just going to stay where he was going to go out to the whole world. Actually, in his gospel, the 28th chapter, we have the last words of Jesus Christ. Those last words was a missionary mandate. Jesus said to Matthew, to the apostles, and to the whole world. He said, go out to all the world. Teach them all I taught you. Baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. What encouraging words for you and for me. My friends, we're not alone. We're not alone, but Jesus is with us. I'll be with you always, even until the very end of the world. Thank you, Lord, for those beautiful words that we have in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Then two other gifts that God gave to Matthew, and he also wants to give us special gifts. Matthew was also given the great gift of martyrdom. Now, all the apostles except St. John the Evangelist became martyrs, in which they, in imitating Jesus, they shed their blood in imitation of Jesus Christ, giving witness to their love for Christ and their love for the Holy Gospel. And last but not least, Matthew, once he heard the call of Christ, follow me, he left his customs post to follow Jesus. And he entered into, my friends, a deep and growing friendship. A deep and growing friendship with Jesus Christ. As they say in Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla. Jesus is el amigo que nunca falla in English. Jesus is the friend that will never fail us. So my friends, the call of Matthew is a very important gospel for the beginning of this Lenten season. Very important. And I invite all of you to become Matthew. Imagine now that Jesus is drawn close to you, wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, doesn't matter. Whatever you've done, doesn't matter. Jesus draws close to you with great love. His love is infinite. And then he says to you, come follow me. But even though this is not said, I think Jesus looked at Matthew with great, great love and trust. Right now, Jesus is looking at every one of you with great love and great trust. I will pray for all of you that you will become a Matthew. That you'll leave whatever is preventing you from following Christ and give yourself totally to the love of Christ. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.